This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
If you're wondering when this wet spell will end and you can get back in the field, you're not alone. Not only has that been the trend around the listening area, but also in other parts of the state. Doug Winter is a farmer from the southeastern part of Illinois, and he's waiting for the ground to dry out just like everyone else.
I live in the southeastern part of Illinois, about 10 miles north of Karma, Illinois, right along I-64. Farm about 2,400 acres of grain production, corn, soybeans, wheat. And, I attempt to. We haven't been in the field for, I think, about 3 weeks today, so we're a little damp.
I think that's the common story. I know in this area things are still damp around here, so you're not alone.
Misery loves company.
Yeah. How has planting been going for you? Maybe before the rain started, were you able to get in the fields and get a good amount of acres planted, or how are things looking?
Yes, generally, in my own personal operation and generally in this area, we're about 40% planted, probably between 40 and 50% planted on corn. We had some really good running days before the rain set in. And probably 10% or less on soybeans. There's not very many soybeans that have been put in the ground yet.
Not only does Doug farm, but he also serves as one of four directors for the state of Illinois on the United Soybean Board. The board recently published an article about the importance of exports and livestock for the soybean industry, stating that 40.1 million tons of soybean meal were exported as meat from 2005 to 2015.
The 40.1 million tons of soybean meal is roughly equivalent to about 1.6 billion bushels of soybeans. And on our 2015 crop, we produced about 3.9 billion bushels. So that would be roughly a little under half, about 45% roughly of what our soybean crop is every year. So it adds a lot of value. Of course, meat and poultry exports are a value-added product, which adds a lot more value to our soybean meal rather than just exporting whole soybeans or soybean meal.
As you could probably gather from the numbers, the poultry and livestock sectors play a very significant role in the livelihood of the soybean industry. Doug says a very large percentage of the soybean meal, both domestic and exported, is consumed by those two sectors.
About 97% of what our domestic meal supply is consumed by poultry, swine, and cattle and aquaculture. And globally, I think about 95 to 96% of our soybean, of all the soybeans we produce, where we export about 60% of the soybeans that we produce. So it's a big boon to the price that farmers are receiving for their soybeans.
And part of that price farmers receive, of course, goes towards the Soy Checkoff Fund. Doug says the group is currently working on several projects.
We've got a number of project areas that we're working in. Of course, production research is always been and is one of our foremost areas that we invest in. We do a lot of work in looking at diseases, ways to improve soybean yield, ways to improve soybean composition as far as the percentage of meal, the percentage of protein, and the percentage of oil that is in our soybeans. Naturally, the South American crop produces a higher level of protein, but we have a better array of amino acids in the beans we produce here in the United States. So we've been working very diligently the past few years to try to increase that protein level to be even more competitive with the South Americans with what they're exporting from down there. We work a lot in some of our new areas that we're going into with the 2017 program year, which will start up in October. Is going to be a heavy emphasis in transportation infrastructure improvement, particularly waterways, rail, and the highway system. We begin to see the advances that they're making once again in some of our competitive producing countries globally, and we feel like we've kind of neglected the U.S. transportation system over the past few years, and we're getting to the point, I guess, probably the most visible is the locks and dam system. With the aging lock and dam system, we're going to have to make some improvements in that over the next few years, and we're hoping to get that more on the fast track with some of the research, background research and programs like that to be able to improve it. We also work a lot in new uses. One of the more visible things that we have that has come out of new uses is soy foam, which is used in, was originally used in the products from Ford Motor Company, particularly their F-150 truck, but now it's used in all of their motor vehicles that they produce, and it is also went into the products that are produced by the what I call the Chrysler brand array and a number of the GM products. So that's made a big inroad into a lot of use in soybean meal. Another area that we've just gone into, has we began to see some fruition from research over the past couple of years, is in adhesives. They're beginning to use more and more soybean-based adhesives in plywood, and that eliminates the use of formaldehyde in some of the glue compositions that they were formerly using. So there's a number of ways that we're trying to be on top of things and come up with new ideas and improve on existing ideas for what we're using soybeans for outside the realm of livestock feed.
And once again, Doug Winter, a United Soybean Board director and farmer from southeastern Illinois. A new report by the National Academies of Sciences released yesterday concludes that genetically modified organisms cause no more health problems for people than other foods. Specifically, the report says there's no substantiated evidence of a difference in risks to human health between current commercially available genetically engineered crops and conventionally bred crops. The 388-page report comes as lawmakers are still attempting to reach a compromise in the U.S. Senate to create a national standard for GMO labeling before Vermont's mandatory labeling law starts in July. While members of the Senate Ag Committee are working out a compromise, the details have yet to be made public. The Senate failed to move forward on a voluntary labeling bill earlier this year. Among other things within Tuesday's report, the researchers say the study found no evidence that the adoption of genetically engineered crops in the U.S. has increased the rate at which crop yields are rising. The report also found no conclusive evidence of relationships between genetically modified crops and environmental problems. In other news, three farmers from Nebraska, along with an agronomist, all diagnosed with cancer, have filed a lawsuit against Monsanto. The farmers allege that Monsanto misled the public about the dangers of the world's most widely used herbicide ingredient, glyphosate. The Lincoln Journal-Star reports the lawsuit alleges Monsanto, quote, concealed or systematically sought to discredit research showing a link between the chemical and cancer. In March of last year, the World Health Organization's International Agency for Research on Cancer labeled glyphosate as a probable cause of cancer in humans and said it's most associated with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, the same cancer the Nebraska farmers were diagnosed with. However, many further reports from the United States and the European Union discredit the findings and say glyphosate is not likely to cause cancer in humans. Similar lawsuits have also been brought against Monsanto by agricultural workers in other states, and those include California and Delaware. And that's all we have this morning for your WSMI Farm Show. I'm Katie Bowles.